boy, on my way to school, I stopped by the roadman, who was breaking stones, sitting on a stool. And he accused me in the following manner, saying, "You know that I know that you know that I know that you broke my hammer shaft, you know." As a young man, I was shooting on Benahee one in the winter time, white hares, and an old chap with a rammer gun, where he'd put a ramrod to shoot the shot down with a ramrod, was sitting next to me when along came a hare and sat down at a good distance. And the old chap got up his rifle and fired at the hare. Instead of being shot, killed or wounded, it sat up on its hind legs and looked all round it to see what had happened. In 1897, as a young chap, about 14 years of age, I had to carry up, at that time, an old man of our gardener's breakfast to the old castle of Durrandia, where he was guarding a bonfire. That was in 1897, the Queen Victoria's Jubilee. And there was to be a bonfire that night. And there was a huge cask of beer there beside the bonfire for drinks for all. And as he was having his breakfast, some of our men began to arrive as well, finally decided that they ought to have drinks. And they opened a cask and started drinking. And we all had, my brother and I, Douglas, who was with me, we all had drops of beer as well, till finally we got quite helpless. And my brothers Hugh and Arthur, came along later out from Aberdeen and climbed the hill to see what had happened, as we hadn't returned. And they had to carry us home. And my mother had to light the fire in the evening, so my father said that I had misbehaved, I couldn't go to the fire, you see. So what I did, waited till they were all up in the castle, to the fire, and I crawled up on my hands and knees. And as I passed, one of our men was lying unconscious for a drop too much. I hit a bugle beside him and I blew it into his ear, but there was no response. Then I got up and saw the whole thing. My mother lighted a fire. And later, when the barrel was emptied, somebody rolled it down the hill and just missed a man's head who was on his way home. And I also saw them wheel the Provost of Inch off the top of the hill in a wheelbarrow. In 1908, I remember the quarter centenary celebrations of the Aberdeen University. I was asked to do certain things, such as show the people, the chief people that had been invited, to their seats at a dinner given by Lord Strathcona, who was the Chancellor of the University, as far as I recall. And the first man I had to receive and show to his seat was the Archbishop of Canterbury, who seemed a perfect gentleman. The next man I showed was Andrew Carnegie, the millionaire. And I couldn't find his seat at first, and he called me a blockhead and not fit for my job. Later on, during celebrations, when the King and the Queen, King Edward and the Queen, came to the opening of the new buildings for belonging to the university, that was at the same week, the Reverend Lang, who was the chief minister in of the university, principal he was, he had to say a prayer before the opening commenced, and Queen Mary, I think it was Queen Mary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She was very deaf. I didn't notice what he was speaking. And King Edward had to give her a poke in the ribs with his elbow and point to bring it to notice. I recall when we were all boys, we left for a holiday on the hillside up at near Rays with a tent which we all lived in. And my father and mother and my sister Chrissy came up on Sunday to see how we were getting on and to have a cup of tea. And unfortunately, Chrissy had sent a nice jam roll up with us, which had hardened up, but it hadn't been used at once. And Hugh, my brother, who was the cook, boiled it in the soup and tried all sorts of things, but couldn't soften it. And unfortunately, just as he was sawing it up into pieces with a saw, she came around the corner and found him. And we never got any more of those jam rolls after that. That finished the whole job. When I went to London as an assistant to Dr. D'Arnault, whenever I annoyed him, he chased me around the table, and the only way I could escape was by pulling a chair out. He fell over it, and it gave me time to reach the lavatory and lock myself in. I'd wait till his temper had cleared up, you know, and I could safely come out again. When I first went to London, I took on a locum. I was a doctor, and I did the work for a police surgeon who had gone on a holiday to Ireland. He was an Irishman, a big, strong man, and an international rugby player. And I had some strange experiences while I was doing the police work. One was, I was called to a man who was found lying in a pool of blood in a room and knelt down to examine him when a police sergeant screeched at me, "Don't touch him, don't touch him. He's got, and I said, "Why, he's as dead as a doornail." And he said, "No, he's full of fleas." So naturally, I jumped away very quickly. Another time, in the police station, when I was examining a lot of people who were drunk, one lady, as I came in, said, "Who are you?" I said, "I was the doctor in charge." He said, "Well," she said, "I'm sorry to say," she said, "I'm sorry to say my husband is drunk, but I'm all right." So I asked to go along a straight line, walk along a straight line. When she was too far end, I turned, shouted quickly, "Turn smartly," which she did in great style and fell flat on her back, which amused all the policemen who were getting told that for their jobs, you know. I made them all double up with laughter. My grandmother told me about an interesting thing that happened to her father in the olden days. A neighbor had his cattle stolen by the reavers, and my great-grandfather to come with him and help him to get them back. So they armed themselves with a jar of whiskey and followed the drivers right up into the cabaret. When they came to a place that looked like a pub, they went in and found the men there and started giving them drinks, didn't let them know who they were. And they themselves drank nothing but poured the whiskey into the scarves around their necks, and then went outside down again and rang the whiskey out. And finally, when they got them thoroughly, the reavers thoroughly drank, they set about them and gave them an awful thrashing. And when they'd finished, one of the reavers said, the big man, he be a good man, but the little man, he be a teevil." The little man was the man that owned them. They got them all safely back. I remember once when we were rowing in the eights for the championship at Aberdeen. The stroke, he stopped in the middle of the race and told me to carry on. I was number seven. while he spat in his hands, as his hands were too dry, he said, and annoyed the man at the command. And however he did, we carried on, and we finally won the race. When we had finished, we went down to the starting point to see the next lot going off in the next races. And there, a photographer who was taking pictures, who were wearing very tight knee breeches and long, had very long, thin legs, a man shouted out, "Uma, look at his wires." Another one replied, "They meant wire them's his legs." When I had finished my locum, the doctor happened to come back in the morning, and we were down to breakfast. While sitting at breakfast, a maid came down and said that someone had come to the front, come to see him, to drop the front door. And when he told that he was up in the at the front door, he rushed up the stairs. She hadn't put him into the waiting room, and there he noticed that his fur coat had gone. So he rushed out and looked all round the place, but it was no use. They'd got away with it.